There's something that we see over and over again in the Hebrew Scriptures. That is a story in which God calls someone to be a prophet or to be a leader. And the person who is being called responds by putting up objections, giving excuses, giving reasons why they don't have the skills to do that task, or giving reasons why they're not the best choice that God could make to do this job. Like, take the story of Moses, who was a shepherd, like Kathy showed the picture of, a shepherd living in the wilderness of Midian with his wife and with his children, with his sheep, and one day tending his sheep, and in the course of his journeys, seeing an amazing sight, a burning bush, a bush that was on fire and yet was not being burned up. And out of curiosity, Moses approached the bush and heard God speaking to him, telling Moses to leave Midian and go back to Egypt and become the leader of the Israelites and to go confront Pharaoh with God's prophetic word. God says to let my people go. And what did Moses do, given this call? He put up every excuse he could think of. If I go back and tell the people that God sent me to be their leader, they're going to say, who are you? What's God's name? Prove to us that God sent you. But finally, Moses got down to the bedrock of his resistance. And he said, oh my God, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And then there's the story about the prophet Isaiah, who was worshiping in the temple one day, taking in the sights and the sounds and the smells of worship, and hearing God speak to Isaiah, calling Isaiah to be a prophet. And Isaiah answers, woe is me, for I am a person of unclean lips. He felt unworthy to speak the word that God was calling him to speak. And then in this passage that we heard today, the call of the prophet Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was still a young boy, and God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, to speak God's word to kings and to priests and to everyday people, telling him that it would be a word that would pull down and build up nations. And Jeremiah said, Sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. So we've got this common thread in a lot of these stories of someone called by God to be a prophet and yet protesting, I'm not a good speaker. What's behind this resistance? Maybe at the simplest level, we could simply say that it is in our nature to give excuses when we're first presented with a tough job. Reasons why we would rather not do it, reasons why we don't have time to do it. And certainly, the excuse, I'm not a good speaker, is something that has the advantage of being plausible, because surveys show that the number one thing that people are afraid of is speaking in public. But I wonder if the reason does not go deeper than this. I wonder if perhaps God intentionally does not choose people who are really good speakers. I wonder if God intentionally does not choose people who are glib and silver-tongued orators. I wonder if God has something really important to say. If God doesn't choose somebody who really has to struggle for every word and every phrase and every sentence that is spoken. Because I think that slick speakers make me nervous, and I think maybe they make God nervous as well. You know the saying about a salesperson who is so slick they could charm the skin off a snake? Maybe there's a reason that some people speak so easily that words thus flow off their lips. And maybe that reason is that they don't have any internal editors working, so that the words come up and they don't make a visit to the brain to do a fact check, to ask, is this true and does this argument make sense or does it just sound good? And maybe the words don't go to the heart and make a gut check and ask, do I really believe this and can I speak these words with integrity? And maybe the person doesn't have the emotional depth to consider, will these words hurt people? How will they be heard? Will they divide? Will they rend asunder? Or will they be constructive? If you don't have all of those filters going on, then maybe you can be a silver-tongued orator, but you wouldn't be that useful to God. So maybe it is that when God calls someone to be a prophet, God will choose someone who has to struggle for every word and phrase and sentence, someone for whom speaking those words will be one of the hardest, most torturous things they'll ever have to do. But maybe it goes even deeper than this. I suspect that when God calls someone to be a prophet, God calls a person who has a profound respect for words, because prophets have to criticize, and critical words can hurt. And maybe a prophet needs to be aware of the potential of words to hurt in order to be a person who can speak them in a way that will heal instead. Words can hurt. Remember when you were a kid, playing in the school ground at school or out in the backyard, and maybe one of your friends wanted to pick on you and just said something really mean to you, really cutting. And it was very painful, and you ran away maybe crying to your mom or your dad and said such and so said something and it hurt me. Now, how many times did parents repeat that old nursery rhyme? Sticks and stones can hurt your bones, can break your bones, but words can never harm you. You know what? That's not true. Words can wound us. Words can wound our psyches, and especially the psyches of young children. And if we can respond to the hurtful words that we encounter by giving first aid, just exposing them to light and sunlight and fresh air and cleaning them out, and maybe telling our children, this is not true about you. This says more about the hurt of the person who said it than it says about you. Then maybe the wound can be healed. But a lot of times we carry those wounds we received in childhood all through our lives. It takes a lot of hard work to uncover them and expose them to truth and light and be healed. Maybe when God chooses a prophet, God wants somebody who's aware of the potential of words to hurt. But maybe there's another thing that God is looking for as well. When God calls a prophet, God is calling somebody who's going to tell the community to pay attention to the elephant in the living room, if you know that metaphor. Prophets know that they are going to have to direct the attention of society to the issues that really matter, to the issues that we're in conflict about. In other words, prophets will end up at the center of a conflict, and that's not a fun place to be. And people prefer not to talk about the things that they're conflicted about. You know, the most typical response to conflict is simply to try to avoid it as long as you can. How many couples have you known who met, who had a lot of things about each other that they really liked, who also invariably had problems, had issues? But because it was too painful or too difficult to talk about those issues, they didn't. They just focused on the good things. But eventually, those unexamined conflicts thus grew and swallowed up the whole relationship. And the other extreme isn't any good either. People who find it too painful or difficult to talk about their conflicts or their feelings, who instead act them out violently sometimes, abusing the person they're in conflict with. Prophets are called to get society talking together about the issues that really matter. And if you know that's what's coming, I can certainly understand the sense of resistance that a prophet might feel. I think there's even one more reason that there might be resistance to the call to be a prophet. And that is, if you know that the tool you're going to be working with is language, words, and if you realize that words are ambiguous, and that by being a prophet you are inevitably going to be misunderstood, it's not a very attractive calling, is it? If you speak an opinion to a room of 100 people, they're going to hear 100 different things. We have our own intention. We translate them into words and we speak those words, but once the words leave our mouths, we don't have control over them anymore. And every person in that room has the right and the role and the responsibility of hearing and interpreting the words. And they interpret them according to what's going on in their own lives and in the course of their own experience. And people will hear all kinds of different things, and some people will understand you, and some people will misunderstand you, and some people will criticize you for things that you never thought you were saying, but that's what your words meant to them. Language is ambiguous, and prophets are inevitably misunderstood. And Jeremiah, who spoke a word of God's love for Israel, but a love that wanted to speak a word of criticism, ended up being accused of being a traitor, of being unpatriotic. So Jeremiah receives this call from God to be a prophet. And he put up resistance, but in the end, Jeremiah accepted the call. And Jeremiah spoke to Israel of God's love and God's criticism. Jeremiah tried to focus the attention of God's people on the conflict within their society, and Jeremiah suffered the loneliness of being misunderstood. We need to be intentional about honoring prophets like Jeremiah and honoring the prophets that God sends to speak to our community today. Amen.